beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Ready or not, December is fast approaching, and Christmas time is upon us. Hey, do you have a Christmas wish? Do you have high hopes for this Christmas? Good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. I want to share with you a verse from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13 in the Good News Bible says this: when hope is crushed, the heart is crushed, but a wish come true fills you with joy. You know, many of us have high hopes and high expectations when it comes to Christmas time. And Christmas is, as the song says, the most wonderful time of the year. You can feel a difference in the month of December as people tend to be a little more upbeat, a little kinder, a little more generous. And there's just this wonderful feeling in the air when it comes to Christmas. You know, most of us love the Christmas movies. We like traditions at Christmas. And many families have traditions. Hey, we watch these movies at Christmas. I know many like It's a Wonderful Life. That's a favorite of mine, too. It's a Wonderful Life. My wife does not like It's a Wonderful Life. I started to wonder about her because how do you not like George Bailey and It's a Wonderful Life? But there are other movies. You know, Elf is a very popular movie at Christmas time. I saw somebody on Twitter say, you know, a Christmas movie is a movie that you really only watch at Christmas. People always try and make the joke that the old Bruce Willis movie Die Hard is a good Christmas movie. You can watch Die Hard anytime, and Die Hard is not, it takes place at Christmas time, but it's not a Christmas movie. Hey, Hallmark has made a career on Christmas movies. So they're all the same. They have just one plot line, you know, boy meets girl, the girl that has a bad relationship with a fiance or no relationship, and the guy that's, you know, down on his luck or whatever. They all get together, or maybe it's a successful guy, but he's empty at Christmas. Always the same. You watch the first 5 minutes and you say, okay, this girl is going to get together with this guy, and now we just see how it works out. But they always end, and I think one of the reasons we like them is because it's like a fairy tale, and they lived happily ever after. They always end so in love, and you just can imagine how wonderful that is. Well, we bring that into our Christmas, and so as we think about Christmas time, we want it to be magical. And here's the problem that we have with Christmas, because for many of us, Christmas time is a time of disillusionment, and it's a time of crushed dreams and crushed hopes. What does that scripture say? When hope is crushed, the heart is crushed, but a wish come true fills you with joy. As it says in the New American Standard, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire realized is a blessing to the soul. Let me see, I don't have that quite. Desire realized is a tree of life. Desire fulfilled is a tree of life. So let's talk about your expectations for this Christmas. Here we are. It's Tuesday, November 29th. Ready or not, December is coming. If you go to the stores, they're all dressed up and decorated for Christmas. Everything is Christmas music, and it's wonderful. I remember when the radio stations used to just play Christmas music on Christmas Day. They would just go 24 hours Christmas music on Christmas Day. Now it starts much, much earlier than that, and it's hard to get too much Christmas music if you love Christmas. Hey, what's Christmas all about? We've commercialized it so much that we've lost sight of what it's all about. Christmas is about God sending his son. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Isaiah 9:6. I'm starting a Christmas series this Sunday, December 4th, and I'm calling it The Thrill of Hope from that wonderful song at Christmas time. The thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. And we're going to be looking at Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. That's what Christmas is all about. A child is born, and who is this child? He's the Son of God given for us. But we've commercialized Christmas in such a way that we have these massive expectations of what Christmas should be. And when it doesn't turn out like that, we get very disillusioned, and we think, this was a Christmas bust. I didn't find the love of my life. This problem didn't go away. This need I had financially wasn't magically erased. I didn't get a check in the mailbox for $100,000, whatever it might be. Well, I have a dear friend, Bob Lapine. He's been on this program several times, and he wrote the little book. It's a great little evangelism book. It's called The Four Emotions of Christmas, and this is a wonderful book. We bought 750 of them at church, and we sold them for $1, and we just told people, hey, $1, get this book, and here's the purpose of the book. You give it to an unsaved friend or neighbor or workmate or classmate, and inside the book we have a little insert that showed all the things we're doing at Christmas time. And the purpose, I told the church, was it's to hand this out and invite that friend, that neighbor, that loved one, that classmate, that person who doesn't know Jesus, invite them to come with you one Sunday or for one special event that we have in December. You know, Christmas Eve is always a big time. So for so many churches, it's one of our biggest services of the year. Candlelight communion at 5 o'clock, and ask people, hey, will you go with me at Christmas? Because this is what I found. People are more open than at other times to go to church at Christmas, just like they are at Easter. They go to church, we talk about CEOs, Christmas, Easter only. So people are more open to go to church with you at Christmas time, and the likelihood of them just going to XYZ church, that's harder for them. But if you invite them and you invite their family, hey, come with me. One of the things we're doing that we've done for the last 4 or 5 years, we do an outdoor movie night. And we're showing the animated movie The Star, and that's on Sunday night, December 11th. And hey, we've rented a big screen, and we have popcorn and hot chocolate and candy, and you know, it's just free. It's just something that we do for our community, for the members, and we let the members know, hey, this is a great thing to invite your friends to, get their kids to come, and it's a good first touch for the church. But anyway, we have this book, The Four Emotions of Christmas, that Bob Lapine wrote, and the first emotion that he tackles is disappointment. A disappointment that so many of us have at Christmas. Why disappointment at Christmas? Because we have unrealistic expectations. Hey, think about the verse again. When hope is crushed, the heart is crushed. Proverbs 13:12. And we have these high hopes for Christmas. And Bob mentions a couple in here. He says, you know, you have the expectation of happiness, that Christmas is to be a happy time. And you go, I mean, we have Christmas parties galore at Christmas. And so we have our Christmas songs and our holiday playlists and our Christmas movies and Christmas lights, and 'tis the season to be jolly. So this expectation of I'm supposed to be happy. But what if you're not happy? You know, my dear friend and partner in ministry, Dr. Chris Schroeder, he preached Sunday at First Baptist Texarkana, and he talked about, what do you do if it's holiday time and you're dealing with loss? You know, you have situational depression because you've lost a loved one, and now here comes Christmas time, the most wonderful time of the year. Well, it's not wonderful for you because you have a hole in your heart as big as the city of Dallas, and you're just not able to get your bearings because you're hurting. You're in, grief. And so that can be an unrealistic expectation that I'm supposed to be happy. Remember this, happiness is based on circumstances. Sometimes your circumstances are good. Sometimes your circumstances are not good. Joy is deeper than happiness. God doesn't promise happiness as he promises joy. The fruit of the Spirit is not happiness. It's love, joy, and peace. And joy is deeper. Happiness is like a thermometer. It registers conditions, but joy is a thermostat. It regulates conditions. So if we have this expectation of happiness, well, that can be an unrealistic expectation. I'm not talking about having an expectation that you're going to be miserable, but you have to be realistic. Second one he mentions is an expectation of relational harmony. Oh, this Christmas, everyone is going to get along, and you build it up. You know, people are coming over for Christmas, and we're all, you know, going to get along as a family, and nobody's going to get in a fight, and, not a fist fight, but an argument, and it's going to be wonderful. I think every family has some sibling issues and some sibling rivalry, perhaps, and maybe... you don't like your brother-in-law very well, and somehow you always seem to get in a corner with him, and he just talks and talks and talks, and you're like, help Jane, save me from this crazy thing, as George Jetson said. And so you have this expectation of relational harmony, and maybe, you know, that's an unrealistic expectation. Maybe you have some difficult people in your family. And, it's just, you got to go into it realistically saying, hey, we might have some bumps in the road, that's okay. And then the third one he mentions is an expectation of perfection, that everything has to be perfect. And if it's not perfect, it's a bust. You know, people have that going into wedding ceremonies, that it's just supposed to be so perfect. This is going to be the perfect day. I always tell people when I do a wedding, listen, throw that out the window. There are no perfect wedding ceremonies. You know, things happen. Just enjoy it. Don't look for perfection, because as soon as you find an imperfection, then it's a bust for you. So just enjoy the day and enjoy the ceremony. Well, hey, if you have the expectation that your Christmas dinner is going to be perfect, that all the food is just going to be exquisite, that there are just not going to be any troubles or problems or this or that, that's an unrealistic expectation. And so let me ask you, what are your expectations as we enter into the month of December? Are they realistic or unrealistic? I still remember the conversation I had with my dear friend Louis Miori, who served for many years as the counseling pastor at Champion Forest Baptist Church in Houston, Texas, where I served, and Louis and I became good friends. And I asked him one time, I said, Louis, what do you think is the number one problem in marriage? And he said, without a lot of reflection, because he had obviously thought through this before, he said, the number one problem I see in the counseling office is unrealistic expectations. When people go into marriage with these big, huge expectations of what marriage is supposed to be, what my spouse is supposed to do, how this is supposed to turn out, and how this is going to be a fairy tale marriage, well, that can lead to disappointment for sure. And if you're going into Christmas thinking that this Christmas is just going to be over the top great, and everything is just going to be so wonderful and so perfect, and everyone's going to be so happy and everyone's going to get along, that's probably an unrealistic expectation. So don't set yourself up for failure and disappointment. Look to the Lord and give your expectations to Him. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk through how you do that. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Did you know the abortion pill accounts for over 50% of all abortions? Preborn Ministry continues to stand with women in crisis in their darkest hour and bring hope and life. After Marissa took the abortion pill, she immediately regretted it, but Preborn was there for her.
Look at that baby. Look how beautiful he is. Look at that. Abortion pill reversal actually works. Let's hear his heartbeat. Oh, look how strong it is. Oh, praise God.
By God's amazing grace, this baby was saved, but many more need our help. To learn how you can be a part of rescuing babies' lives and sharing the heart of Jesus, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com, or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby.
What would you do?
Aunt Sadie, I appreciate your thought behind the gift card, but I just can't take it. I promise not to shop at Target because they allow men in areas that need to be private and protected for women and children. I hope you'll go to afa.net/target and learn about it. I'm not giving them my money.
Aunt Sadie didn't know about AFA's call to boycott Target, but she knows now, and so do you. Learn even more at afa.net/target. afa.net/target.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
For American Family Radio, this is Gateways to Better Education. I'm Eric Buehler. Many people think that the activities and social movements around the world, such as printing pamphlets, public speaking, just happen naturally, but it's not the case. They were all pioneered for the most part in the late 19th century and early 20th centuries by Protestants in England and the United States. English and American missionaries then took their experience in social movements with them as they traveled across the world. In his research on the impact of Christian missionaries, Professor Robert Woodbury from the National University of Singapore points out that modernity, quote, was not the inevitable result of economic development, urbanization, industrialization, but a far more contingent process profoundly shaped by activist religion. To read the article, How Christian Missionaries Changed the World, visit gogateways.org/radio.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about Christmas time. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. And Christmas, as the song says, and I truly believe, is the most wonderful time of the year. Now, you might be going through some serious difficulties this Christmas, and you say, well, it's not the most wonderful time of the year for me. And I definitely understand that many can be hurting at Christmas time, but the time itself, when God gave His Son, when Jesus came into the world, it was a time of rejoicing. It was the time that the angels sing, "For I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." What do we celebrate at Christmas? That a Savior was born for me. It's personal. There's been born for you a Savior. I need a Savior because I'm a sinner, and I desperately need a Savior, and God gave me the greatest gift, and He met my deepest need, and that is for salvation, for deliverance, for forgiveness, for a relationship with Him. Now, as we're talking about unrealistic expectations, the emotion, I had mentioned about Bob Lapine's great little book, and I encourage you to get a copy of this. We did a program on this. You can go back to afr.net and listen to the program I did in July with Bob Lapine over this little booklet, book, The Four Emotions of Christmas. It's a short read. It's probably a 20-minute, 30-minute read. It's only 63 pages, but it's really well written. And so Bob in this book deals with the emotions that everybody can relate to: disappointment, stress, sadness. And then he ends it, the last chapter, on joy. And we can have joy at Christmas regardless of our circumstances. Remember what we said, happiness is based on circumstances, but joy goes deeper because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And then he shares the gospel message, the heart of Christmas. What is it all about? So if you have unrealistic expectations in life, in marriage, at Christmas time, the chances of you getting disappointed are great, great. Because, you know, when hope is crushed, Proverbs 13:12, the heart is crushed. And if you build up this huge hope that's unrealistic, this dream that's unrealistic, and it doesn't come to fruition, especially in the time that you put it in, because God doesn't operate on our time schedule, he operates on his, your heart gets crushed. And sometimes when we think about shattered dreams, you know, nobody likes to have a dream that gets shattered. But did you know that is really more the norm of life than the exception to life? Think about people in the Bible who had shattered dreams. How about Adam and Eve, starting right off the bat? Adam and Eve sinned. And in Genesis 4, what do they experience? We see their oldest boy, Cain, kill their second born, Abel. I mean, you talk about a shattered dream. No doubt, Adam and Eve were hoping that Cain would be the one, the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head. But that all fell apart when Cain kills Abel, and so it can't be Abel because he's dead. It can't be Cain because he's a murderer. And they had a shattered dream. How about Joseph in the book of Genesis? You talk about, I mean, he's the dreamer. That's what his brothers called him, this dreamer. Well, his dream that his brothers would bow down to him, that seemed like a nightmare when he's sold into slavery and he's working for Potiphar, and then he ends up in prison because he's lied about by Potiphar's wife. Joseph ended up in prison not for doing what was wrong, but because he did what was right, and he sure felt as his dream, that his dream had been shattered. How about Naomi in the book of Ruth? You know, her name means pleasantness, but when she came back from Moab without her husband who died, without her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, because they died. She went full with a husband and two sons, and she comes back to empty, and they say after 10 years, is this not Naomi? Is this not pleasantness? She just said, don't call me that. Call me Mara, which means bitterness. I'm not pleasant anymore. I'm bitter. The Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. She had a shattered dream. David, anointed king. Ah, this is going to be awesome. You're probably 12, 13 years old, anointed king. But then what happens? Well, he kills Goliath. Everything seems to be running well. 1 Samuel chapter 17, he's anointed in 1 Samuel 16. He kills Goliath in 1 Samuel 17. He's put into Saul's service in 1 Samuel 18. But then the song comes out. David, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. And King Saul looked on with suspicion on David from that day forward. And David ends up living years of his life on the run from psycho King Saul, insecure King Saul, who wants to kill him because he sees him as a threat to his throne. Talk about a shattered dream. Job's dreams were shattered as he experienced such tremendous heartache and pain and loss physically, emotionally, mentally, just in every way. Hey, life is filled with shattered dreams. Mary and Joseph had dreams. They were engaged to be married. Everything was going to be wonderful. They were going to have this great marriage, this great wedding ceremony. And that's a big, big time for people back in Bible days, just as it's still big time today, but not quite the thing that it was in Bible times, because they would celebrate for days this wedding ceremony. Well, what happens? Well, something great happens, but it's still crushes your hopes, this hope for this wonderful wedding. You know, all women dream about their wedding day. Guys don't tend to do that. They dream about their wedding night. But a girl dreams about her wedding day, and she wants it just, you know, to be just so. But now here is Mary, pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Who would believe that? Joseph didn't believe it until God came to him in Matthew chapter 1 and says, don't put her away. Don't divorce her. That which is in her is from the Holy Spirit, and you need to marry her. And so Joseph, who was a righteous man, you know, he didn't want to shame her, but he couldn't believe that that was the situation, that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Who would believe that? Well, he didn't, until the Lord spoke to his heart, and until, you know, he had the word from God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary to be your wife, for she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So, hey, shattered dreams are a part of life. And here's what we do with our unrealistic expectations, because no doubt you have them, I have them, we have them. It's just something that we do. We build things up. So how do you deal with your expectations? First of all, give all your expectations to the Lord. James chapter 4 gives us the word from the Lord on our expectations. James says this, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we shall go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Hey, this big dream we have in this business venture. He says, yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and also do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Give all your expectations to the Lord. It's okay to have expectations, but you just give them to the Lord. Lord, this is what I hope to see happen, but I give it to you as the Lord wills, according to your will, not my will, but yours be done. Secondly, remember Romans 8:28. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Hey, what we see in the moment as bad, just know that God is at work. And God works the worst of life to be a blessing. As Joseph told his brothers, as for you, you meant evil against me. They sold him into slavery. You've been evil against me, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. Just know in the midst of the difficulty you're going through, God is at work, and Romans 8:28 is still in the book, and no good thing does he withhold, Psalm 84:11, to those who walk uprightly. Just walk with him, and God will work out all the details. And then thirdly, take responsibility for only the things you can control. Don't take responsibility for the things you can't control. In your marriage, the only person you can change is you. You can't change your spouse. You can just change you. And the way you change you is by looking to the Lord and surrendering to the Lord, because it's really him changing you. But God is not going to force his way into your life. He's not going to make you do things. He shall lead his flock like a shepherd. He leads us gently. He just doesn't drag us along. He says, follow me. And so the only person you can change you as you come before the Lord every day, Romans chapter 12, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Come before him every day. Here I am, Lord. All I am, Lord. I am yours. Make me the person you want me to be. Change me from the inside out. Take responsibility for the things you can control. And for the things you can't control, just trust God. Well, I would love to take your calls, and the phone lines are now open, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. As we prepare for Christmas, as we think about Christmas and expectations and how we can have realistic expectations and not unrealistic expectations, and how we really can experience the joy of Christmas when we focus on the true meaning of Christmas. You know, one of the things that is cool this year is Christmas Day is on Sunday. And so at First Baptist Texarkana, and I told the church, I said, hey, we're meeting at 10:30. We're not going to have Bible study classes at 9:15, but we're going to meet at 10:30, and we're going to have a service of celebration. And not going to be super long, probably 45 minutes to an hour, but we're not going to cancel church on Christmas Day, as many churches do. That's their business, but I don't get that at all. We say that Jesus is the reason for the season, and then we say, but Lord, Christmas Day, that's for us. So I know that's the day that we've set aside as your birthday, but we're not coming to the party because we're doing our own thing on your birthday. Doesn't make sense to me. So I am looking forward to gathering with the family of God on Christmas morning and celebrating the Lord Jesus Christ and just expressing our thanks to the Father for sending His Son, our thanks for the Son for entering this world. And as the song says, I love this song at Christmas, it says, He was born in the shadow of a tree. The shadow of a tree. Ever present was the knowledge He would be hanging on a tree, the tree of Calvary. And when the Lord came into this world, that's what He came to do. It wasn't to, hey, this is going to be really cool. Every year you can celebrate my birth, and here are some neat things about it. He came into this world to die, to be the Savior of all men, to give His life a ransom for many. You know, when He was right up against it at the garden, or in the Garden of Gethsemane, He said, Father, if it be possible, take this cup from me. But He knew that's why He came. And the silence from heaven said, my Son, there is no other way. And so He willingly went to the cross to purchase your salvation and my salvation and our salvation. So we're going to the phone lines. We have Janet from Texas on the line. Janet, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, you just mentioned earlier about the Hallmark Channel and about, you know, all the movies and things on there. But a better channel to watch is the Great American Family Channel. Candace Cameron and several actors and actresses are making movies for the Great American Family Channel now. And it is a better channel to watch. Hallmark has gone woke. They are actually promoting homosexuality, and I've kind of monitored it before I saw things, and then I heard about this other channel. It's the better channel to watch.
Okay, how do you get that channel?
Okay, on Dish, it's 165, and it is called the Great American Family Channel.
Okay, and so if you have a streaming type of setup, is that its own, that's its own app, or how does that work?
I have Dish. That's the only one I know, and I'd heard about it being on Dish at 165, and okay. I actually checked it out again.
Amen. Well, that's good. Thank you, Janet, for that. The Great American Family Channel. I love Candace Cameron. Her brother Kirk is a friend and an encourager. He's been to my church several times. We just love him. Love that family because they take a strong stand for the Lord Jesus Christ in a difficult, difficult work environment that they find themselves in the Hollywood movie making and television industry. So thank you for that that word of encouragement. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're talking about Christmas time and unrealistic expectations and how we can make them realistic expectations and enjoy Christmas to the full. So we're going to take a break. We'll take your calls when we come back. Don't go away.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute. No way.
There's a way. The Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Persecuted Christians in China, they're beaten, jailed, and threatened with death, and they need your help today. This is Bible League International, and just outside of Beijing, 12-year-old Ming became a believer after learning English as a second language through a program from Bible League because the Bible is the source of the reading assignments. Ming would lead her father, Dai Ku, a Confucianist to Christ, but her bitter atheist mother has turned them in for attending a house church near their home. We're not sure what's going to happen to these two, but they remain faithful in worship, and they're praying for Bibles because in their church of 200, there's only about 3 Bibles. Many are known to stay after the service to write down some scriptures just to have something to take into their week. And 50-year-old Katsu, beaten and jailed many times as a pastor, he led his atheist interrogator to Christ. Together, they've seen thousands come to Christ. They need Bibles in China. So in this season of giving, will you remember the persecuted church in China and around the world at $5 a Bible, $100 sends 20? Call 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or give at sendbiblesnow.org. Send Bibles Now.
Hi, I'm Rob West, host of MoneyWise, heard here on American Family Radio. If you've listened to MoneyWise any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. It's one way for Christians to be good stewards of the resources God has entrusted to us. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. The offerings of the AFA Foundation can help you to shore up permanent income for your retirement years, and at the same time support the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Why not contact Riley Wildman and the team at the AFA Foundation today to see if including the AFA Foundation in your estate plan is right for you. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. Or visit them online at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, and we're talking about Christmas. Hey, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Are you ready for Christmas? Hey, ready or not, here it comes. And we're talking about dealing with the issue of disappointment. I've been mentioning my friend Bob Lapine's book, The Four Emotions of Christmas. And the first emotion he starts off with is the emotion of disappointment. And disappointment comes when we build up our expectations of what this situation should be, what this Christmas should be, what this marriage should be, what this event should be, what this circumstance in my life should be. And when it doesn't match that, if you build up this thing to where it's just going to be the nirvana of nirvanas, this experience of all experiences, that's not realistic to life. And so you are going to experience a letdown, and the letdown can bring disillusionment and can bring discouragement. And we need to live in reality. We need to have realistic expectations, and we need to make sure that the main thing is the main thing. And Christmas time is not about sights and sounds and smells. Those things are peripheral and those things are wonderful. But Christmas is about God sending His Son. A child will be born to us. That's wonderful. That's the infant story. But a son will be given to us. That's not the infant story. That's the infinite sacrifice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Well, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about your Christmas and how to have realistic expectations this Christmas and how to deal with the Christmas parties and how to deal with, feeling blue at Christmas, because that can be a real thing. You know, you just have, you've gone through some difficulties, and maybe it's relational, maybe it's financial, maybe you've lost a loved one. How do you get the joy back? I love what the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 12, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord set joy before him. How did he get through the cross? By setting the joy before him. And as the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, such an important verse of Scripture, Romans 8, such an important passage of Scripture, chapter of Scripture, but Paul says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." We need to fill our mind with the glory that's coming. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians, momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. I think one of the problems that we tend to have in the Christian life is we don't think enough about what is to come and the blessings that God has for his children as we remain faithful to him, to hear the Lord say at the end of our lives, "Well done, my good and faithful slave. You are faithful in a few things. I'm going to put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Now, we want instant gratification. That's kind of how we're wired. And so in this life, we don't get instant gratification. The Christian life is not about instant gratification. It's about delayed gratification. It's about trusting the Lord. Some people take issue with the first law in the four spiritual laws. God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Now, I realize that that can be a presentation that is geared on the person. Bill Bright wrote that years and years ago, and it's, I think they've printed a billion plus of those. But the issue is you're a sinner and you need a Savior, but God does love you. And that's why he sent the Savior. And God does have a wonderful plan for your life. That doesn't mean that circumstances will be good all the time. That means that his presence will be with you all the time. And you can have access 24/7 to the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the goodness, the gentleness, the faithfulness, the self-control. That is yours as a believer if we walk not by the flesh, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we yield and we do what Romans 12:1 says, we present our bodies every single day as a living sacrifice. Hey, I'm yours, Lord. Here I am, Lord. All I am, Lord, I am yours. Well, the phone number to call is 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And we have our friend Alan from North Carolina on the line. Alan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
And as I had shared before, mentioned what I do at Christmas, you had talked about weddings. And one thing, before I got married, the photographer said, "Don't think that everything is going to go perfectly. If something goes wrong, think of it as not a tragedy, but as you're making memories." And yes. And I like that advice, and I've passed that on to other people. But I retired out of the Army at Fort Bragg, you know, originally from Texas, but I have family who live down in South Georgia. But one thing that I have done a few times is I will drive down to Georgia on Christmas Day. And but before I leave, I make up like a lot of Christmas cards. You know, I'll take a Christmas card, and then I have like a one-page insert that talks about the Christmas traditions and things like that. I fold it up and I put it inside the card. And as I'm traveling down, I will pull into a welcome center, and I will go around and I will offer that to everybody who is there. Just offer them, and I say, "Would you like to have a Christmas card?" And then whenever I gas up, after I gas up my car, then I go around to everybody who's gassing up theirs, and I do the same thing, because these people are traveling on Christmas Day, you know, for, you know, possibly out of necessity. But I like doing that, because some of these people maybe are traveling under, you know, kind of tough circumstances, and that's a way to just kind of brighten up their day a little bit. And then, of course, down at the bottom of that sheet is a gospel message of talking about Christ being born. And one time, whenever I had gone into a Waffle House and I was going to get breakfast, but I went around and I gave everybody the Christmas card just like that. And then I was sitting there in the booth, you know, stuffing more Christmas cards because I had kind of run out. And this one guy came up to me and said, "Listen, thank you for this Christmas card." And he said, "Don't worry about looking for your check because I paid that." And it was my turn to, you know, thank him for what he had done for me. So that's one thing I would suggest, is that at Christmas time, don't think about how you're going to be cheered up, but how can you make somebody else's Christmas a little bit more cheerful?
Amen. That's a great word, Alan. We all can do that, and that doesn't cost a lot of money to do that, to be a blessing and to encourage somebody else. You know, I still remember, I think the psychiatrist's name was Hobart Marrer. I read this in a book, and I put it in my book, Runaway Emotions. But he said, he was asked a question, what would you do if... you know, if you were talking to somebody who is greatly depressed and just, you know, couldn't get out of bed type deal. And he said, I would tell them to find somebody who is in need and go help them. Because when you start to be a blessing to other people, God blesses you. Give, Jesus said, and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. They will pour into your lap. Well, God bless you, my brother Alan. Thank you for calling in. We have Marco from Texas on the line. Marco, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Pastor Jeff, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Pastor,
go ahead.
Jeff, testimony I want to share real quick is, we're talking about unrealistic expectations and being in different parts of the world, working with Hollywood, traveling different places. I understand what you're saying about sometimes you try to fill expectations with fame, fortune, money, home, income, titles, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I thought of is maybe an expectation of an unrealistic spouse. A perfect spouse. And one thing I remember in my marriage counseling is, even your own spouse is not going to fill your expectations. And my pastor said at our counseling, Marco, you need to see God. Failure, you need to see God. And when you guys see God, you'll find each other. Because being in marriage now 10 years, we let each other down. Mm-hmm. Even though we both love God and we're equally yoked, we're still in an imperfect vehicle. And I'm so glad you're sharing this message about Christmas. And that hope and that joy come from our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He said, it is done. And when we seek out God, I encourage people, when we open the gift of salvation through Jesus and seek that, because God will never let us down. Hmm. We will let each other down. Our own flesh will let us down. But God will never let us down. It's already been paid for. He's died, he's resurrected, and he's coming back. And that is what Christmas is about, opening the gift of salvation. But a lot of us just look at the gift and never open it. It just sits there on a manger. It sits there on a billboard. And my encouragement is, see God, even with your spouse, even with your marriage, even with your kids. See God.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing your message.
Amen. Marco, great word. I used that illustration before on a Christmas Eve in a Christmas Eve service that, you know, somebody gives you a gift, it doesn't really become yours until you open it. And many, you're exactly right. So the gift of salvation is given to every person, but they just leave it under the tree. They never open it. They never receive the gift and receive Christ, who is the Savior of the world. So great word, Marco. God bless you, my brother. Well, we have Ron in, where is Ron? He is in Michigan. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor, and my comments then are going to be similar to Marco. What makes Christmas so meaningful to me is that the God of this universe looked down and said, I've got to do something. I still want to be friends with Ron or Marco or Jeff or Allison or whomever. I still want to have a relationship. He didn't do anything wrong. I'm the one that rebelled against him. Yet at Christmas, he said, if you will, I still want a relationship with Ron. And for that, he gave his one and only son, that I might be able to have a right relationship, so that through all of the hoopla of the season and all of the rat race and so on and so forth, it is still a Merry Christmas because our God looked down and started the way of salvation. We have to accept it, certainly, but he began the work of salvation by sending his son so that we might have a right relationship with him.
Amen. That's so true. Well, thank you for that word, Ron. And that's why Christmas is the most wonderful time, because we focus in on the fact that the Savior came at Christmas. Good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. I do not believe in a limited atonement. I believe that Jesus died for all people, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, it is God who has to open our eyes. It's God who has to draw. Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. It's a work of the Spirit, no doubt, but we still have to receive it. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. John 1, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not receive him. Those who were his own did not receive him. He came to the Jews, and the Jews rejected him. Yeah, I was thinking this morning, just as people can be very mean and cruel online and go out and blast people, and especially if you stand up for the truth, you can get blasted. They called Paul a ignorant seed picker in Acts chapter 17, idle babbler. They called the Lord Jesus Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. Hey, if you get called names for standing up for Jesus Christ, that's okay, because they called the Son of God and God the Son the devil, and you have a demon, you are insane, you're a Samaritan, all those slams and slurs at the Lord Jesus. Hey, that's okay. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. We lift up the name of Jesus, and at Christmas time, we can boldly proclaim that God sent his son, and that son is Jesus. He's the Savior of the world, the Savior of all men, and he will save anybody who will turn to him in repentance and faith. Well, thank you for listening today to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow as we welcome Janet Mefford to the program. God bless you. Have a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.